Welcome back to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I am here today with my co-host Amanda Kramer and our very special guest, Lance Collins. Lance is Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor, and Area Manager for Pinnacle Financial Advisors in High Point, North Carolina, and he is also a 15-year U.S. Army combat veteran. Welcome, Lance.
Hey, thank you, Tim. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you with us. So, as I mentioned, you're an Army combat veteran, 15 years of service. Thank you for your service. You've been a leader, both in the military and in the financial services professional, a father, a husband, and so much more. Love to have you tell a little bit more about your background and your life and ultimately what makes you passionate about supporting veterans in the workforce.
Yeah, supporting veterans in the workforce is near and dear to my heart. As I go through a little bit of my history and my background, you'll be able to kind of pick that up. You know, I grew up in Florida, and a lot of people ask me, why did I ever leave? I had a passion for the military. I heard stories from uncles that were in Vietnam every Thanksgiving and Christmas about jumping out of airplanes. And, you know, as a young man, when you're 18 years old, that sounds great. But now at 42, I feel all of that every day when I wake up.
You got the memory for life.
Yes. And so I wasn't ready for college just yet. I did that after my time in service and joined at a very young age and spent well over 18 months in combat by the time I was 23, 22 years old. Operation Joint Guardian in Kosovo and Operation Iraqi Freedom for the initial invasion into Iraq. Enjoyed my time in the military, probably 4 of the best years of my life. I learned who I was and I picked up a lot of skills and a lot of characteristics that propelled me in my civilian career. And that's one thing about the culture within organizations, if they can support veterans, it's going to be a win for them. When I went into corporate America, you know, I got a degree in finance, got my securities license and all that stuff. But what differentiated me from a lot of my peers when I was going for positions was some of the things I learned along the way that was instilled in me throughout the military. That automatically, I view this in our cultures, we hire veterans. I'm telling other leaders, hey, look, right out the gate, you know you've got somebody that's going to be on time. And if they're on time, they're going to consider that late. So they're probably going to be a little bit early to everything. Their work ethic, whatever aligns with their job skills, whether they're client-facing, if they're extroverts, what have you, they're going to give you 100%. That is why I'm all about empowering veterans within organizations, encouraging them. Also, asking organizations here locally in High Point from the boards that I'm on to, hey, listen, go out there and give those veterans a try. Because I did experience there's a little blip for a little while there where a lot of people said, hey, you know what, veterans coming back from overseas, they might have some mental issues that they need to work through before we bring them on board. And that was when Iraq and Afghanistan were heavy. Mm-hmm. But I have found that hiring veterans is one of the best things I can do as a leader. Of course, it hits my heart because I've seen a lot of guys struggle with that transition from combat, military life into the civilian world. I am on the board for the Hero Center here locally in High Point, and that's what our goal is, to help those veterans transition. How do you go from being told when to show up, where, even what to wear and what to do, to, hey, listen, now I'm in the civilian world and really there's nobody there. There's no formation every morning. So I do think hiring veterans within an organization will help the culture. And honestly, it makes them more productive from my experience.
Early is on time and on time is late.
You said it.
Well, the Army culture is grounded, obviously, as you said, in a lot of virtues: loyalty, duty, respect, self-service or selfless service, honor, integrity, and courage. What are the parallels you see between really healthy leadership cultures, both in the military and business?
There's a lot that overlap. I feel as if the military really instills a lot more than we do here in corporate America nowadays, especially in our world. Integrity, that's number one. That's at the top of the list in the financial services industry. You know, you can go back over the past couple of months even and see where different organizations, banks, that wasn't the case. And that came from the leadership down and, you know, they're fined and other things happen. So the biggest parallel is the integrity piece. If you get that right in the civilian world, then your organization is going to do well. But it starts with the culture, right? What are you trying to create? Who's hiring and who's in the seats over there within your team? The loyalty part, that's to a point. You don't really have an option. You sign your contract in the military, you got an obligation, you're going to stick around.
You're loyal whether you want to be or not.
Yeah, you're wearing green every day. It doesn't matter. But the thing here is, you know, if you want to create a loyal organization, you've got to get the buy-in from everybody. it's a team approach. That's what we do here at Pinnacle. There's no producer mentality, so to speak. It is a think like an owner mentality. And if you do that, then you have that team approach. And honestly, being in the military really helps you understand, hey, it's not about the individual, it's about the team. How do we row together in the same direction? That is one thing that stems large here at Pinnacle.
That's awesome.
Well, and you mentioned something a little bit earlier about just understanding as a leader, a business owner, either whether it's in a small business or in corporate America, really understanding the veteran community. And there definitely is a cultural competency that comes along with that. So can you share a little bit about, you spoke to the transition to your civilian and then also your professional life in a business. What have you seen organizations that either you've worked for or that you have been a part of, whether that be the board you mentioned or what have you, really work to understand the veteran community, to really have that culture that is of acceptance and the ability to really support veterans appropriately?
I think it's the organizations that have the culture of acceptance, no matter who you are, your background, or your demographics. In the veteran community, it is giving somebody a chance, right? So I was infantry. How in the world does somebody in infantry go into this industry, you know, in finance? So it's really drilling down, what are they passionate about? What are their strengths? And then, hey, giving them the opportunity to succeed. That's been the most successful part, because when you're coming out of the military, you can do finance in the military. That's different than finance here. When you come out of the military, you got to reinvent yourself. Myself and a lot of my peers that I served with, that's what we've all had to do. I've had guys that went from infantry to IT, infantry to nursing, infantry to what I'm doing here. And I say infantry because a lot of people correlate that with, hey, all those guys know how to do is jump out of planes and shoot guns and blow stuff up, right? They may never think that they could be a nurse or someone that's directing an IT component in an organization or a person that's excelling in the financial services industry. So there are those characteristics that a lot of people pick up in whatever job you have in the military. There are strengths, and I think if you capitalize on those, you will have a veteran really contribute to the bottom line of your company.
I'm curious, Lance, given that we're both in the same profession, financial services, what attracted you to financial services? How did you find yourself in this profession coming out of the military?
Tim, I jokingly tell people, I can jump out of planes and I can do anything with numbers. And so here I am. I'm too old to jump out of planes now.
So you're doing numbers.
So I'm here in this business. But I got off active duty coming home from Iraq and took a couple college courses. And where's my heart at? And it was in the finance industry. It wasn't accounting. It was finance. And quick story, I interned with a gentleman that was a leader within a financial organization here in town. And he was a Vietnam veteran. And the reason I got the job was not because I was the smartest. He said, hey, look, you know, everybody had trouble finding this place. How did you get here early? And I told him, I said, I came and found it yesterday. And he said, literally, can you start tomorrow?
You scouted.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's little things that you pick up along the way in the military that really help in corporate America. Again, he was a Vietnam veteran, so he really catapulted me into my career. And I think that's another example of one veteran looking out for another. And that's what I strive to do every day.
Do you think that mentorship, I know you spoke a little bit to that, but did you have a mentor coming out, or what is that transition like? How did that help you in your professional aspirations once you did exit the military?
I did not have a mentor coming out. That gentleman that I just spoke of, after 2 years when I started to intern at his firm, he became my mentor, but my drive and motivation was, I'm not going to kick sand anymore overseas, and I'm going to do something here stateside. That was a big driver for me.
And you wanted to have a little less green in your wardrobe.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Well, you talked about, from an influence of the military in your professional life, making that transition. Obviously, you showed up early, scouted the place out a day in advance, got the opportunity. What are some of the other aspects of your military career that influenced or has influenced your professional life?
Throughout the military, and I think a lot of other veterans can agree to this, you always hear the phrase, be flexible, and you just want to roll your eyes like, it's your mom telling you to go do something when you're a teenage boy, when we know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So be flexible was always in the military, and that's because things change, right? They consistently change. And so I've used that in corporate America to not push back, not whine when we're given a certain task or a certain goal or even a vision for the group. It's kind of accomplished the mission, so to speak. you know, so be flexible because nothing's going to be perfect. I know a lot of my peers within this industry get out of college and they think it's just going to be ho-hum. They got their education, they got their license, and now everything's just going to be great. Well, I graduated and got my license in 2008 happened, you know, that year. So you've got to be able to adapt. That is a huge, huge attribute that people pick up from the military. And it doesn't matter what your job is because the Army or Marine Corps or any of the branches are so big. It's such a big organization that nothing stays perfect, right? It's always going to change. You could lay out a timeline for an entire month, and I can guarantee you maybe one or two of those days will line up the way they were expected to.
Funny how that works in life.
Yeah. Well, and it's like us in our world, the markets change, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look where rates have gone, over doubled.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody last week that's interviewing with our firm, and the guy said, it sounds like, you know, there's been a lot of change in your profession and your organization. And I said, that's all I know. Yeah, I would say that's fair. I guess I don't want to say we're immune to it, but we have definitely become accustomed to it.
Yeah. I think if you can remain flexible, that'll help you, especially in our world.
Mm-hmm.
But anything in corporate America.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a constant state of improvising, adapting, and overcoming in any circumstance, right? Like making that circumstance the best that it possibly can be and really figuring out a way to leverage those strengths and parallels that you see both in your personal and professional life.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've talked about leadership and obviously the influence the military had on you and how you've transitioned those attributes and skills into civilian life. One of the things you mentioned earlier that I'm curious about, Lance, because I have a great passion for seeing people successfully transition from military life to civilian life, and it isn't easy. What do you think some of the key things are if I'm a business owner, entrepreneur, hiring somebody coming out of the military? What are some of the key things I need to be aware of to help that transition for that individual go smoothly?
I think it is sitting down and getting to understand that person, because I can almost promise you what that employer is getting is someone who is wanting to do well, wanting to succeed. They're used to being part of a bigger team and they want to watch that team succeed. I think making that transition, because at the same time, depending on how recent that transition is from the military to civilian world, they're also going to the thing of reinventing themselves, like I mentioned earlier. And so how does that employer engage them? How do they keep them engaged in the corporation, share the mission and the vision of where they're trying to take that organization and how can they successfully contribute to it? If we do that, and I've done that here within my leadership, if you do that, you're going to watch that person grow in whatever capacity you have for them. You'll watch them grow and they'll excel.
Yeah. And you mentioned as well, Lance, some of the, I'd say, stigma perhaps in business or professional life that somebody coming out of military, PTSD, some variation of that. You know, how does a business owner, entrepreneur kind of both be aware of what that really is and then maybe even identify signs to be able to support the person that they've hired?
We want to support everyone, right? You know, if you're on the team, if you're working for that organization, you want to be mindful of, you know, even down to certain holidays for certain communities, right? So you want to be mindful of that and be inclusive. For the veteran, I think it will come to surface if they have trouble being in large crowds, within large meetings for the team, you know, behind doors that are locked. It'll come out. And I think just be professional about it and be mindful of those situations. Hey, if you're uncomfortable, then let's do a workaround on this. You know, if you don't want to be in a group of 200 people at a meeting, then that's fine. You know, join us by Zoom. One thing I'm grateful of is today's technology. Honestly, when I've seen veterans do that and they have certain issues that stem from being overseas, I want to wrap my arms around them and say, look, I got you. Because I've seen buddies and peers of mine, they never quit fighting the war. And what I mean by that is they came home and it was just as bad as it was overseas. And ultimately, they do some pretty harmful things.
Yeah, it can be very destructive to them and their families.
Yes.
How important do you think internal resource groups, or I know we talked a little bit about mentorship earlier, do you wish you would have had a mentor in your transition time a little bit sooner, or did it come at the right time for you? What advice would you give for leaders, entrepreneurs who are employing the veteran community? What would be one or two things that they could do today that could have a positive impact on building that more veteran community within their organization?
A lot of people create business resource groups, right? Mm-hmm. So there's different groups within different organizations that focus really on, hey, where are there others that are like me, like a combat veteran? Who's a veteran within that organization? And it really helps because it builds camaraderie, because it doesn't matter if you served at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, or Fort Benning, or Fort Bragg, what have you. I know a lot of these names have changed now, but it builds that camaraderie within the group. And I think it makes you stronger because now, for example, here at Pinnacle Financial Partners, there's a veteran over in credit that I can call her. We've connected because of the veteran background that we both have. Hey, here's what I'm thinking about on this line of credit for this client. Help me out. And it actually builds camaraderie by having those groups. Personally, for myself, when I came out of the military, I was running so hard, I didn't really want a mentor. I wanted to figure it out and see what is out there. And dove into college, got the internship, my security license. And, you know, I was working, going to school, and still serving after active duty in the National Guard. And so for me, I was just at a full sprint trying to find, okay, I'm no longer Staff Sergeant Collins. I'm Lance Collins. You know, I'm going to be a wealth advisor or banker, whatever you want to call me. And it really took that time to reinvent myself. But I think for an organization to have those groups, the business resource groups to say, hey, look, why don't you folks come together and let them come up with some ideas of how to be more supportive of the veterans within that corporation.
Good point. Absolutely.
You mentioned a couple boards you're on, Lance. One of them is Heroes, and I've been on the board of Patriots Path here in Charlotte. What are some, as a business owner, entrepreneur, employer, what are some organizations that might be good for a business owner to be aware of to both have as a resource to potentially meet veterans that are making transition in the workplace and then be supportive of both the employer and the veteran that's in the workplace?
Here in the Triad, we have the Hero Center, and then also down in Charlotte, it's headquartered down there, and it's throughout North Carolina as well, is the Veterans Bridge Home. And what we're doing within these organizations, and let me add this to it, I know in mine, with the Hero Center, I think 2/3 of us are veterans, and almost everyone is a combat veteran. And then you have the same dynamics over there at Veterans Bridge Home out of your neck of the woods in Charlotte. What we've really focused on is going to these employers and saying, listen, you guys need people. We got these people that are coming out of the military, from, and especially North Carolina. Yeah, Seymour Johnson, you got Camp Lejeune, you got Fort Bragg, you've got all these different bases. And who better to bring into your community, bring into Charlotte, bring into High Point, than someone that has shown up and done their job through the military and now want to be a part of the community?
Yeah, there's some great organizations, and we can put some links to those organizations in the show notes here, because I really believe they are, well, Veterans Bridge Home, the name says it all here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Helping the bridge that gap and that time frame from active duty to civilian service.
A lot of people on those boards have done that transition. And so we've got the resources to help them come along. I mean, just here in High Point, we did Veterans Benefits 2 weeks ago. And what that was, soldiers and sailors and airmen that have been injured in combat that have had a claim for the VA, how do they navigate that? And then also, what are their educational benefits as well? A lot of veterans get out, okay, I'm out, now I got to go find a way to make an income.
Yep.
And I know we're talking a little bit more around how to transition into the workplace, right? But I think Veteran Bridge Home, it's a good note to share that they also help settle military families. So once, you know, you are in that state of transition, whatever that transition might look like, it's also helping build social connections. You were mentioning that earlier through, you know, business resource groups, but having that camaraderie, that shared experience of what individuals have gone through, whether they are the member that has actually served or they are the family of the member that has served. There's a community there that has necessitated the need for connection. So I think that's an important role too, that employers can utilize the services of an organization like Veterans Bridge Home to connect with veterans and their extended families. So just a point of reference for those listening.
Yeah. And what I will do is I'll send a link. You probably have the link for Veterans Bridge Home. I'll send a link for the Hero Center as well.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Both organizations have collaborated quite a bit throughout the state of North Carolina.
That's awesome.
For veterans.
Yeah.
Another important dynamic, collaboration.
Yeah, yeah.
Not competing service organizations.
So are there any points as you lead a team at Pinnacle as well. And so we talked a lot about some of the parallels that you have from leadership, both in the military, but also in the workplace. What would you say if you were kind of just like really distilling it down? What is the one thing that a leader who has a group of individuals who are, whether they're veterans, whether they're not, really has to instill to build that? You were speaking a little bit about that camaraderie, that community, that altruistic state, like whether it's something that transitioned from the military for you or not, but like, what is that one thing that like motivates you every day within your group?
The one thing that motivates me is being a coach. I remember taking a private in the military and training them and then watching them get their sergeant stripes, you know, watching them go to jump master school and just is being a coach. I could sit back. I don't need a title. I don't need the accolades. I don't need the credit. Let my team get the credit for that. But for me personally, and it's not the money, it's actually sitting there coaching and developing and helping someone else. And as you watch that person grow throughout their career, not the military anymore, but in corporate America, they grow throughout their career. That's fulfilling to me personally.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Being a coach.
Yeah. Well, I've listened to some of the other spots that you've been on, podcasts, but also, you know, some of the other places that you can search anybody on the internet, right? And so one of the ones that I listened to that you were sharing, which it really resonated with me, so I wanted to have you expand on it just a little bit, is that you were talking about a good leader, which really speaks to what you were just saying a moment ago, but that they have to make some really good small decisions first. And you mentioned this at the beginning about you have to take that first step. You have to look at the bigger picture of what's going on. But if you don't move, something really negative is going to happen. Potentially, right?
Yes.
So as you were really helping to mold individuals in the workplace, how does that come to fruition for you and your leadership style? Really making some of those small decisions first.
Yeah. So in our industry right now, in the financial services industry, things are consistently changing from the beginning of the year, right? So January till now looks much different than what we anticipated in November and December when we were planning for 2023, just with rates, where things have gone, deposits, we've had some banks be acquired and things like that. For me, you've got to continue to make those small decisions because it's going to change. If you do not make a decision, ultimately you're paralyzing yourself and your chance of success is zero, right? So you got to pick a path left or right. That goes back to my military days of battle planning, right? Do you want to take the objective on the left or the one on the right? Well, let's see what's going to be more advantageous for us, what's going to help the bigger goal. If we do that and we make those small decisions, it'll ultimately lead to bigger decisions and more success. You've got to be decisive as a leader because you got people that are counting on you. Being decisive and making those decisions will also help you be resourceful for them. You got to carve a path. I think if you plan out your vision for what you want in your team, what goals you want to accomplish, then you plan that out on a 3 to 5 year plan, what have you, 1 to 3, it doesn't matter. And then along the way, you're being decisive to accomplish that goal because your decisions need to be based on where you guys are going. You got to be going somewhere. Where are we going as a team? What are we going to build?
Well, and you had said about being flexible. No situation is going to be perfect. And so if you are having the opportunity to actually create a plan in some way, shape, or form, you have to account for that it's not going to go perfectly. And just being okay to take that first step, whatever it might be. I mean, you really just have to execute well. It might not be the perfect strategy in 6 months, 3 years, or whatever, but at the time, you just need to execute on what you've decided is the best path forward. And so when I think about that, I'm really focused on the fact that in our ever-changing, I know we've talked a little bit about specific to our industry that we all partake in on a daily basis, change is the one thing we can count on. It's constant. And sometimes we have outdated or limited information to even make that initial first decision on. So I think, you know, what you're sharing about the ability to just broad spectrum, here's where we're going, and now we're just going to take it one step at a time is really beneficial.
Yeah, and when you take one step, reevaluate, take another one, reevaluate. And what you're saying right there, you may not have all the information up front, and you got to make those decisions. That's Army 101. We never had all the information that we needed.
Yeah, very true. It's almost like you're in a dance, a little bit of a tango. Yeah. You got to move around, yeah. Right? Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you were saying, and this also sparks a question for me, just around honoring the veteran community. So whether that be if you, as a leader or an organization, business owner, whatever that might look like, honoring veterans in a unique way, I think, is very important. And there's a lot of social campaigning that gets done. There's a lot of private conversations that happen. But if you were, and you might even have a personal experience that you can draw on from a standpoint of, you know, you've onboarded as a leader, you've onboarded veterans into your organization. What do you see as some of the most distinct ways to really honor that population, whether that be on a holiday that's established, or it might just be on a daily basis? You know, I know you had shared really coming alongside, getting to know that individual personally, but is there anything that you feel really resonates from an honor standpoint?
I'll tell you from my experience, and other veterans may be different, and that's fine with this, but the whole, you know, a lot of people say, well, thank you for your service and all that. And that is great and appreciated by a lot of veterans. But if that's not said or nothing's recognized on Memorial Day or Veterans Day, that's fine. I think getting to know their story as a leader is the most impactful thing. And then when you get to know their story and their why they excel in certain roles rather than others, I think it's going to help you as a leader. It's going to help you as a leader to empower them and engage them within the team. So just get to know their story.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think it's a personal, it's a 1v1. And that's what I was sharing, that, you know, there is a lot that gets pushed out, which is necessary and has its own place and time. But I do think, you know, I agree with you from a standpoint of just getting to know that individual and having the ability to have that dialogue. I know for me and our organization, we have an individual who is military as well, and the ability to sit down and hear his stories, I mean, it's encapsulating. Like, I just can't even, I don't want to leave his office.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, and he beams when he talks about it, which is just really cool to see. So really getting to know him and his experiences have shaped who he is professionally and personally. So it really helps, I think, build that sense of community. And I don't have that same experience. It's not something I really have to lean on him to share that with me, which is just really cool.
Yeah.
So.
And I can promise you, if that person served overseas, there's probably not a day that goes by that I don't think about that.
Right.
And so when you're having that conversation with them and you're engaging them with that, that's their release, you know, that's their outlet sometimes.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, Lance, it has been a wonderful dialogue with you today. I can't thank you enough for being here with Tim and I. We are really focused on helping businesses, entrepreneurs, leaders in general, build a culture that wins for everybody. And the veteran community is definitely a part of that. And so we appreciate you being on the podcast today and sharing your experiences and your insights, and really just can't thank you enough.
Thank you both. And you guys are doing great work, and I appreciate the opportunity to join you on this podcast.
We do appreciate it, Lance.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the opportunity to learn a little bit more about how you can be impactful and remain relevant as you are building out your winning culture. Until next time.